Welcome to the Time to Thrive podcast, a podcast designed to help you level up every aspect in your life. I am one of your hosts, Jordan.
And I'm Jared. We are a multi-passionate couple so excited about helping others thrive in their health, wealth, relationships, and careers.
Together, we are here to share with you knowledge, experiences, tips, and tricks to help you step into your fullest potential while also keeping it real.
If you're ready to create the life of your dreams and have fun doing it, then you've come to the right place. So hit that subscribe button and press play, because baby, it's time to thrive.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Time to Thrive podcast. It's Jordan here. Jared is not joining us today, but we have another special guest, a very special guest, and she is one of my best friends. She literally stood beside me in my wedding party, and we've known each other for, oh gosh, maybe 4 years now, about 4 years. And it's wild to look back on. So I'm really excited for you guys to dive in and learn a little bit more about Madison Turner's story. I'm not going to steal her thunder and give her like this whole intro, because I really want you to hear from her. But if you think that I'm busy, if you think that I have a lot on my plate, if you think that I do a lot, you haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg yet. So this is Madison.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited.
Can you give me give us like a 2 minute intro about like who you are, what you do, et cetera.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. Hi, I am Madison Turner. I'm so excited to be here. I guess I am kind of busy. So my entire like mantra is that you can be more than one thing. And that is exactly what I am. So I am a full-time grade 1-2 teacher. So I do early primary. I live in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. And then I have a top 2% business that I run entirely from my phone in my home, along with having 3 of my own little ones too. So I have a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. I have known Jordan now. She's watched my kids grow up. So she's seen the thick of the crazy. And I just really, really hope to convey today that like busy people get stuff done, and never let that be a deterrent for you. Let it like fuel your fire of what you can do. And I think that's what we're going to dive more into today.
Yeah. So her story is pretty crazy. And I think there's, you know, there's some parallels between ours, but I think Madison also can share to a lot. Like, I don't have children yet. Right. She has 3. Like, we have a lot of similarities, but we also have a lot of differences. And I think you guys that are listening in are going to learn a lot and pull a lot of little nuggets out as we go along that you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And kind of those little aha moments, or maybe some areas that you are really just holding your back in, not only business goals, but also life goals, you know, friendships, doing kind of that social media, but also self audit and like who you're surrounding yourself with. So that's kind of like the theme of today. So as we dive in, Mads, with your story, like you were in the thick of it, you had 1 child, mm-hmm. and you started a business.
Right.
Why did you start your business in that moment? What was kind of some hesitations, or what were you looking at? Because this is kind of a time of year that a lot of people are wanting to, you know, get things going. A lot of people are wanting to dive in, but they might be holding themselves back from being, you know, if you could see my hands, I'm doing little quotations. You know, they're too busy, or they have, it's not the right time. What was your vision then? What did you see for your family then?
Yeah, absolutely. I might give a little bit of backstory too, so that I can paint a picture of the craziness that we were living. Because if I were just to jump into the very moment, it wouldn't make a ton of sense, because a lot of things had to happen in order for us to get there. So I actually had 2 kids at the time. So I had my oldest, who would have been 3 and a 3-month-old. Okay. So I was like, this was nuts. 3 was my magic number, clearly. I was also doing my master's at the time, master's of education. I was on maternity leave because my second was so young, and I had heard of network marketing. I was aware that there were business opportunities out there, but I was on mat leave. I felt secure. My master's was well on its way. And then all of a sudden we had the world shut down. Okay. So this was also 2020. So, life was crazy with the pandemic, and we found out we were expecting our 3rd. So the idea of having a 3-year-old, a 3-month-old, and expecting, it was almost for me like my world was literally imploding. because all of a sudden all the goals that I had aligned for myself, they started to not make sense anymore. How in the world was I going to continue on doing my master's while like online, while having everything going crazy around me? So that was the first thing to give. So I actually withdrew from the master's program at Simon Fraser University because it was kind of like the straw that was breaking the camel's back. And then as soon as I did that, I obviously attached school to my worthiness because I was like, what am I going to do now then? If I can't do this, or if I like things are falling apart. And it was almost at that moment where an opportunity was like put onto my lap, and I heard of like properly took the time to listen to what network marketing was. Now, I couldn't take on something that meant me leaving the house. I couldn't take on something that was adding like more and more and more to my plate, like my master's had been doing. But what I could do is work in little snippets of time. So I became open to the idea. All right. So that is when I started my business, was when I had my two little ones and I was about to take second maternity leave from that point. And there was no sight of going back to teaching at that point, because it just didn't make sense for us. So that was like, these were the catalyst moments that like nudged me in the direction to find it. I wasn't sure what that was going to look like for myself. I wasn't sure what I was doing either, but I did know that if I leaned into this, my vision was that I could help my family in a time where I felt very, very helpless because of our situation.
That's so crazy. And it's cool, like listening to that. So two things. One, you mentioned about like feeling secure with mat leave, and I literally gawk, and I respect mat leave. I think like, you know, you got to do what you want to do. However, having a really candid conversation, which you know I'm all about, mat leave, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like $2,000 a month.
So Jordan, I should stress now, if I were to look at mat leave and at this point in my life and have to take one, I think I would be freaking the heck out, because I don't even think it was $2,000. It was literally pennies. But at the time, you're like, you're so conditioned with a 9-to-5 job to be like, this is maternity leave. This is what you take. It's going to be a very, very small amount of your income, but that's okay. You get a year off. But now, because my money mindset has shifted so much, and I think we're probably going to speak to that, oh my gosh, I would be very stressed out.
Yeah. And it's like,
I couldn't.
Knowing that you can like earn so much, and I say this all the time, I'm like, it's so much easier to earn more money than it is to save money now. And like, if you are going to a mat leave income, like the amount of stress that that could put on a family, on you personally, on even how you want to live when you're having a baby, like you're not able to get your proper food. You're not probably, you know, nourishing your body as well, or taking care of your stress, or having those convenient things that will actually make your life a lot easier. So those little pockets of time that you can put towards building a business or in a secondary stream or third stream of income that's helping you out, like it's mind blowing. So that was the first thing. The second thing is looking at your return. Like I always like to look at your return on investment. So having that view of your master's program versus the time that you could allocate to your business and seeing, okay, what is the return on investment? And this is a little nugget that if you're listening right now, like, maybe do a bit of a life audit. I'm like, okay, what am I investing my time into? Is that giving me and my family a return?
And I think you should also take this a step further. It was also costing such a huge amount during a maternity leave to be paying, like, it's thousands and thousands. It's upwards of $20,000 to be like getting your master's, right? So it wasn't something that felt even like that it was a helpful thing at the time. We were watching our bank account go down and down and down. And that return would take so long once returning to teaching to make back.
Well, to make back, but then profit from
it. Totally. Absolutely.
You think,
years.
Totally. Like you're looking at a long term goal instead of being like, okay, what do we need now?
Now. Exactly.
So that's one thing, like think about that as a listener right now, like little nugget. Go through and like sit down of what you're doing, where your time is allocated, where your finances are allocated. And like, is that giving you a return on investment, right? Some things don't need to have a financial return. They can have a whatever, but you get the point. So with that phase of your life that you were in, I want to hear from you, like, obviously not worrying about the chaos. Like, you do such a good job. And I literally send so many people to your Instagram page. You guys will drop Madison's Instagram handle below, about just not worrying about the chaos and learning to kind of, I don't want to say thrive within the chaos, because I'm sure those years were a blur of your life, but really understanding, like, there's never really a perfect time. Like, you show up and you show your life when your kids are making a mess, but you're like, whatever, this is mom life. Like, this is where I'm at. And just really, you know, I got so many questions on socials when I dropped a question box about this, about, you know, I feel overwhelmed with kids that I can do something else. I feel overwhelmed, you know, to even want to start having kids when I don't want to put my job and career, like, on the back burner. And being able to do both so seamlessly, or from what it seems, like, how do you, what are kind of some tips that you would give to people, or mindset shifts, if they're entering into that phase or in that phase?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, you kind of hit on it, even just with the word audit, it's like, what are you currently doing now, right? So for me, I think that the chaos and the crazy is still going on to this day, because our life is really wild, but it's the audit of, what would I be doing if I weren't working my business? Like, would I be scrolling on my phone? Would I be watching TV? Would I be, you know, like, pitter-pattering around the house, not doing anything overly productive anyways? Because at the time, that's what I was doing. I honestly didn't have the capacity to be doing bigger things when I started out, right? So I had to keep it really simple. I had to keep it in small time chunks, but that's exactly how I started my business, was in small, tiny increments of time that I could have used sitting down. I don't know, maybe I did have some naps, but mostly I thought to myself, okay, if I'm intentional with this 20 minutes of time, what can that look like moving forward? Like, how can that move the dial forward? And that's something that I always think about, is like, are you doing things in life to move your dial in the direction that you want it to go? Now, for me, the direction that I want my family to go is literally to prosper, right? And that's always on the forefront of our mind. Like, how can we have the ability to tell our kids yes? How can I have the ability to feel really confident in my role as, like, a teacher, a mom, a businesswoman? But if I were doing all the little things that didn't move the dial, I probably wouldn't be here on this podcast. So you have to get really mindful of your time and do that self audit. Sit down and be like, okay, what did I do today? Get, like, I don't know, a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. time tracker. Write down, what have you done? And how much time, maybe not, I wouldn't say wasted, I'm doing quotations, but like, how much time was spent not moving your dial? And I think when we actually do that and do an audit of how we spend our time, it can be pretty eye-opening to see what you could have inserted, maybe to fill your cup a little bit more, to fill your family's cup.
Yeah. And those can be like work-related things. Those could be even like I catch myself at night. I'm like, hey, do I really need to be scrolling on Instagram? Or like, maybe I'm going and doing like a sleep meditation that's actually going to get me into a more restful state, that's going to give me a better sleep. And that's going to be, have a bigger return on investment than me getting into a scroll hole. Like, there's little chunks of time, but the cool thing about that is that those little things compound. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing that, you know, both you and I have seen. Like, I worked full time as a dentist. Like, when I started my business, I didn't know, but I would take those little 20 minute chunks of time, you know, a patient cancels, the patient doesn't show up. It's like, well, instead of sitting there twiddling my thumbs, I do a little bit for my business. And then that grows over time, and look where we are today, right? So I love that. And I love the, you know, I just wrote down a little thought while you were speaking, and I think you could probably expand on this, but the question of what would need to change or to happen in order for it to be a good time or a perfect time. Like, if you would have asked yourself that when you were sitting there with two young kids, one on the way, and said, okay, what would need to happen right now for it to be a perfect time for me to start my business?
Well, I feel like it's kind of a trick question. Like, we know, you and I both know, there is no perfect time. But I should tell you that one thing I've watched is, you know, I've grown my team and I've watched other people become successful. One is, like I mentioned, that busy people do get stuff done. So those who already have lots on their plate are typically much better at time chunking, at seeing what needs to be prioritized by taking something else on, because they have an understanding that you can balance it despite being busy. However, I've also noticed that those in a transitional period often thrive too. So I describe my journey and my start as a like pivotal transitional period, right? We were transitioning for literally the number of kids we were about to have, and it was a transitional period in that my career was shifting as well. So I do notice that when people really jump into our business, they're also experiencing transition. So whether they have moved, or whether they have changed in their relationship or their job, or they're having a new family, those transitional periods are really awesome because you almost get this chance to create a new piece of your identity. And it doesn't have to be your whole identity, but it's neat because you can kind of weave it in as you create your story. And we all have the ability to decide we're going to transition as well. Like, it doesn't have to be something massive, but we can decide that we do want things to shift. And that's how our business goes really, really well hand in hand together.
And then it can be just like a random Saturday where you're like, you know, I'm just kind of sick and tired of sitting in my own potential. I'm starting my like transition period. Like, this is kind of the end of me making those excuses, or me just, you know, kind of wavering and seeing, you know, for me, it was like looking at other people and being like, okay, if they can do it, like I can do it too, you know, like all those kind of things. So, and being really relatable, like I think that's one of your superpowers. It always has been. And I just want to speak to the listeners. Like, if you are a new mom, if you are, you know, a busy mom, or if you are a young professional and you want to have a family, like, you are the most relatable you will ever be when you first start a business. And that is a superpower in itself. And I think holding that relatability as you grow in your business is also a superpower, because then people are inspired by you. They're not like idolizing you, you know? You need to bring back. So, if you're listening to this and you already have an established online business or whatever, bring back relatability. Like, we are all doing the same things in different ways on repeat. The more that you can show people that you are just a regular Joe, like, gone are the days that people purchase from celebrities. Gone are the days that people purchase from, you know, massive influencers that have hundreds of thousands of views because, or followers, because they're not really relatable. Like, they're getting paid to show those products and they're not even using them, which is a superpower. Like, if you are purchasing online now, you're probably purchasing from the mom down the road that shared like a ch children's toy on Instagram or whatever it is. You want those personalized and those relatable recommendations, and that is the power of network marketing and online businesses. And I think that is just one of the reasons why Madison's been so successful. As I remember, there was this one time that Noah, her youngest, she was like the COVID baby that was like the surprise, but the perfect addition to their family. Like, she's the cutest little ham in the world. And she had taken your body butter and smeared it all over the chair.
Oh God. She does that regularly
And
still.
she put it on her Instagram, and she's and like, but she was like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, some parents would have been like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back. But instead, Madison was like, oh my God, this is going on. But like, this is hilarious. I'm really glad that my child is playing with like non-toxic body butter instead of something that's riddled with artificial fragrances and whatnot, right? So, used it as a way of like being relatable, bringing comedy to her Instagram, and like really creating a beautiful moment of it. And that's where like her brain is so incredible with that. And I've always admired that about you.
Thank you. I think it's really cool too, because when you are a bit more vulnerable, or you are a bit more genuine in how you share through social media, and you don't have to have everything so posed, that is also when you create really cool friendships and really cool relationships with your following and with your clients and with your team, because they see the, like, I mean, it's maybe a highlight reel sometimes, but I also make an effort, like you said, to share my real life, because that is me. And I literally do not have the time to show up perfectly. Like, I don't have those extra minutes in my life, and nor do I think anyone really should. Like, I'm lucky if I don't have Greek yogurt spread on my camera lens to actually get like some clear content, because it's just not how I'm able to run my life. And I would also say that if I were hyper-focused on being perfect, I don't think I would have continued on because it would not be sustainable. So like jump in messy, jump in, and whether or not you're showing your family, whatever it is of your life, it is okay to not be perfect when you do it. And you will probably never be perfect, but you will gain those friendships. Like you and I have connected so majorly. You will just continue to grow and be the person that you want to show up as, right? And if you are not showing up as the person you want to be and you watch it and you're like, oh, it's not even me, stop doing that. Like, please, please do not fake it till you make it. Be open to learning, but like still be you. You have to.
Yeah. And that's what differentiates yourself. So speaking of friendships and whatnot,
yeah.
I think obviously, you know, the business side, the, you know, financial gain, all that kind of stuff has impacted your family tremendously. Mm-hmm. I want to shift into like the relationship part as well. Just because I think honestly, for you and I both, that was a big surprise. Like when I started this business, I wasn't like, oh, I really want to gain some like best friends. Like
neither of us were. We were both like the opposite. We're like staying in our own lane. Even to jump on a team call was a bit of a stretch. Like
intention wasn't the community. Where some people it is. Yeah. Some people want that community, and I think it's a totally valid point. But like my brain and your brain, we were like, we want some income that is in different ways, which is fine. That's also beautiful. And like, I also want to point out to the fact that a lot of people watch my Instagram. They're like, Kisa, do you actually make money? I'm like, yeah, my husband actually doesn't work for a corporate job anymore. Like we don't just get Monopoly money. Like that would not be the thing. So yes, there is real money. Go onto our Instagram, send us a message if you want to learn a little bit more about what that can look like for you.
Okay, mamas, this one is for you because I know that there are a ton of you listening in, and I know that there's also probably a ton of you that when you go to the dental office with your kid, you are stressed. You literally want to get out of there without them crying, without them screaming, and without them having any cavities. So I have been there. I have chatted with so many parents day in and day out throughout my years in dentistry. So I have put together an amazing dental ebook for you. It is called The Tooth Fairy Secrets, and it is everything that you need to know from the time your child is a newborn till about age 10. And it goes through so many of the most frequently asked questions. We're talking when to start brushing their teeth, techniques to manage behavior around this, when to visit the dentist for the first time. That's a big one. How to ease nerves around dental visits, fluoride versus non-fluoride. When should teeth start coming in? When should teeth start falling out? Screening for ortho, pacifiers, preventing cavities, and so many more questions that I really, really dive into in this ebook. It is packed with information and it is so affordable because I truly feel that there is this gap in the marketplace for parents to have education around dental needs. I don't want you have to spend a ton of money at the dental office on filling cavities, doing all these things. I'd rather you have these answers at home from the comfort of your phone. So if you have not asked any of these questions, you probably will, unless you get this ebook. So I have put the link in the bio for you to click on. It is super affordable. And I really just hope that it helps you throughout this time in your life with your kiddos.
But in terms of us meeting, so this is a really cool story. I want you to tell it because you're the guest.
Oh, sure. So we met in 2020. I think I had not yet had my third.
No, you had baby carrier.
So
we actually, met at a winery. It was like meant to be.
That's right. So let me like kind of take us back a bit. We have an incredible team that we are a part of. So like Jess very much brought us together. So our team is very big on accountability, really big on support. Like how can we help each other? And Jess saw Jordan and I and the way that we worked our businesses. Like we were very, like you said, like very independent, very financially driven. And she kind of like put two and two together that we might be a good match. Because all of a sudden we were synced up as what we like deemed accountability buddies at the time. We had never met in the real world. So we had like our little texting friendship. And what I noticed most about Jordan though, I was like, this chick shows up. Like I honestly didn't even expect a real person to message me when we got paired up, but like she was on it. So all of a sudden I was like, okay, this is kind of like, this is pushing me in the right direction too. Like, she is just, you guys, if you're listening, obviously, you know, she's a wealth of knowledge, but I just thought, like, how lucky am I? So I have this virtual friendship. I'm just like in awe of her work ethic. And then the New Year came, 2021. I had my little one. We met at the winery. Our team was doing another get together. And she like lifted me into her arms. I kid you not. She like put the carrier down. Jordan's holding me in two arms and like spinning me around. And it was like, our friendship had formed virtually and then clicked in real life. And I swear to this day, she still lifts me in her arms and like twirls me around. And she's just like, I don't know, the biggest, like she's just the bestest friend. So you guys are all so lucky.
But it's so funny. Thank you.
And you remember that?
It, like we have the pictures of like me literally spinning you around, but it's so crazy that, you know, now like our friendship grew through accountability buddies, through this business. And then now, like, I'm sure in your organization too. And like, you guys have to understand, like Madison and my organization have zero financial tie to them. Like nothing. We do not grow. Like we help each other. We literally talk about business all the time. And I think it's a beautiful thing too, to like, look at your, again, going back to audits, like looking at your friendships and your circles, and not that you have to get rid of old friends. Like there's a time and a place, but you can kind of set boundaries around some of those friendships. And maybe you do, you look at them and you say, this is not serving me at all. This is holding me back. I either need to set some like clear boundaries or bring new into your life. So if you don't have circles, like I say this all the time, it's so powerful to have female friendships that you can sit down with and talk about your goals, talk about money. Have someone like Madison and I literally just went through our vision boards together and like called each other out on like playing small. Like where do you ever find like friendships like that? And if you don't have it, I like, honestly, I want that so bad for you because it's so huge when you have a friendship or, you know, couples in your life that, you know, are kind of on the same trajectory, have the same goals, can still have a hell of a lot of fun. Like we have so much fun together. We know when to do business. We know when to have fun. We know how to intertwine the two to really be able to move that forward. And I think that's such a gift. And now seeing that duplicate in, like, I know our organization, like there's friends that have met that are kind of sideline accountability, like, and now they have these beautiful friendships, like bringing their family in, like Madison's kids, like I literally love them like they were my own. Like her whole family like watched our wedding, her husband married us, he was our officiant. Like it's so crazy how our business brought us together, because otherwise I literally don't think we ever would have crossed paths.
Oh no, we would not have. I can say that with certainty. Like there is no way. We're just too far removed in like in other aspects of life. It was like things perfectly aligned for us.
Yeah.
I also, as I'm listening to you speak on that, I can't say with certainty that I would have found that circle of growth or that circle of like vision setting, goal setting, anything growth related had I not entered this, because prior it was not even slightly on my radar. Like I didn't, I didn't know even how, like, I didn't even know how to journal. Like I didn't know how to better myself in any way other than what I was doing. And at the time that was fine. Like I was content on my path because I didn't know that there was an opportunity for more. Like I literally didn't. I didn't know that self-development was even a thing. It was not on my radar. It was always published as like self-help. And I was like, I don't need help. I'm fine. But all of a sudden, when you are surrounded by people that want to do a little bit better or help a little more or feel a little better about themselves, it kind of is contagious.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have come prior.
No. And it's funny that you say that, because it's literally, I'm just recalling our conversation that we were having before this, and a really good book, if you guys are wanting to dive in about this kind of conversation that we're having, Madison and I were just talking about it because she's reading it right now, is The Gap and the Gain. And we'll drop a link to that in the show notes too. Cause if you need an audio book or a physical book, like go read it. If you know, and just hearing you speak about that conversation versus the conversation that we had, about mat leave and whatever, like when you were like, I just envision you lying in bed with like pregnant with like Brooks and like Quinn and whatever. And it's like reflecting back on that and being like, hey, how much has your vision changed? How much has your money mindset changed? How much has your, like, your goals for you and your family and your marriage and your, you know, your business changed? And like, you think back to like Madison laying in bed being like, how the heck am I going to do this, to where you are now, to be like, wow, all of those podcasts, all of those journal sessions, all those workouts, all those showing up, all those, like, it all accumulates. And now we sit here and we're like, okay, how can we get, you know, and it's not a bad thing to always be moving that needle forward at all, but it's also so important to take a minute and be like, okay, let's look back at where you are. So if you are at that point where you're laying in bed and you're, or you're in a situation where you're like, I don't even know how I'm going to make this happen. Like, I feel overwhelmed. I don't know how we're going to live off this income, or we have these goals, we want this life, and we just don't have that vehicle to get there. I want you to think of where you could be in 4 years if you just started now. You started messy, you started showing up as you, you started just doing the thing that you've been like hesitant to start, and then you could reflect, like, 4 years is going to go by regardless. Mm-hmm. The time is going to happen, the events are going to happen, but like, similar to Madison's story, like, what if you could look back in 4 years and be like, holy crap, like, this is now where we are. You know, it's the same with our journey, and we see it over and over. So it's so cool, and I'm so proud of you for that. Also with community, I want you to just briefly share, however much you're comfortable with, about your marriage, because I think this is also a really cool lesson. And we, obviously, we love Madison's marriage. We wouldn't have had them so involved in our wedding if we didn't. But there's a couple key things as parents, also how they met, when they had their children, and how they've been able to literally continue to be best friends and have such a strong marriage after all that chaos when they were so new together in the beginning.
Yeah, we were incredibly new. So I guess we met in 2016, and that was like when Tinder was at its prime. So that was like, and I was like, what is this? Like, even apps were at their prime. I was just like, this is exciting. Well, I didn't last on Tinder very long. Devin was one of my very first dates, and we like hit it off. I went home and I was living at home with my mom and my dad. And I was like, I am totally going to marry that guy. He has a Mazda 3 and a leather jacket. Like, this is, he opened the door to his Mazda 3. And I was like, oh boy, this boy is trouble. Like, he's so handsome. Anyways, he really ended up being the guy I was going to marry. But it really also didn't take very long to marry him, because I guess I do things very intensely, as I tell my story.
Shocking.
Yeah. So I met Devin, and we started dating in February, and we found out that we were expecting our first by June. So we were expecting our first by June. We were engaged by.
Okay, so that's 6 months. Dating.
And then we bought our first house that July. So it was like within 6 months, I had met like the love of my life. I was pretty locked in at this point. We had a house, a pregnancy, an engagement. But I should note, and I don't know if he'll listen to this or not, I didn't, as soon as I got pregnant, I stopped really liking him a whole ton. Like, I was just like, all my hormones hit me at once, and I was like, oh God, please. Like, I know this guy's awesome, but I really want that love to come back, because right now I'm just like pregnant and scared and this is crazy. But thankfully I had full faith that it would, because, oh, and guys, if you just don't like your partner while you're pregnant, it's totally normal. Like, it's just like, it happened to me 3 times. I'm not exaggerating. I was like, you breathe really funny. So that time went on, and but what was on my radar for me is like, I love this guy from the second that I met him. There was something that was there, and thankfully I kept that on my mind, and it did come back. And I always come back to how much we have grown and how much I continue to fall in love with him, because I keep it at the forefront. I'm like, I love this guy. I keep that as like my mantra when it comes to Devin, because he's such a solid person. And even though we've had like our ups and downs, he is just like my rock. And I'm very committed to having a relationship where we do the date nights together. We have hard conversations. We go to therapy together. We have arguments. We talk from those arguments, and we've had to do a lot of work. But it's just like the gap and the gain. We look at where we are now versus where we started. And holy smokes, like if you keep doing the work, it can be really, really awesome as long as both are willing to do it. And thankfully, I found someone who is.
Yeah. And you mentioned two things that I've always really admired about you guys. And anytime anyone asked me about your relationship or whatever, and we had a lot of that at the wedding, but two things that stand out to me is you said that you go to therapy and you prioritize date nights and time alone. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe you can expand a little bit on what that looked like for like therapy and, you know, maybe that conversation, like, was it easy to kind of initiate that? Was it like an absolute necessity? What did that look like in your schedules? Like, just for people listening to just kind of normalize that, because I still think like therapy is more normalized now, but it still needs to be more normal.
Yeah, it actually makes me sad a lot of times because like I'll mention it and I often will hear one partner say, oh, I wish my partner would come to therapy with me. Like it's all, I always feel like that conversation is very one-sided when it comes to like being open to it. Would you agree? Like, do you hear that as well?
Yeah. Or there's still that negative connotation of like, well, something must be wrong. Like,
totally, totally. And what therapy did for us, so I really just like to share the positives, is that it gave us literally the time to have conversations. So it wasn't even really what the conversation was about. It was that all of a sudden we had an hour carved out every 2 weeks to sit down and talk about what was on our mind, versus just trying to get it into the snippets of the chaos and like things wouldn't get resolved or like we wouldn't actually get to say what we mean because we were interrupted 20 times by our children. It became carved out conversations, like guaranteed, like almost like in your daily schedule to actually talk to my husband. Because if we did not have that, like we didn't have the conversations we needed to have, they would get swept under the rug. So for me, it's completely normalized in my mind because it let us talk again. And we actually don't need it as often now, which is really huge. Because we'll say to ourselves, we haven't carved out that time. So like two nights ago, we sat down, looked at the vision board that you and I had created, because that time needed to be had as we look forward on the next year. But it's because we've learned that skill now, versus just trying to squeak things in because that was not working.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, from people that like Jared and I who don't have children, it's not that we're getting interrupted, but having that time would be so huge because usually those conversations don't come up in like a calm environment where you're feeling really good. You've just gone to like your therapy appointment and now you can have a really collected conversation where you're not heated. Your cortisol isn't through the roof. You're not emotional about things. You're not stressed and tired from the day. Like if you don't have those times or you don't like literally scheduling in, like even just check-ins, like maybe every 2 weeks, maybe you can't afford a therapy appointment or that's just like not on the radar for you and your spouse right now. Maybe you then just set in like a little nightly check-in on a, you know, Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 that you're like, hey, this is when we're just going to check in with each other. And maybe we even like set out some parameters of like, what are we going to go over? Like what's working for us? What's not, what do you need more of? What do I need more of? Like super simple to just check in a time when chaos isn't ensuing, or else like when we get into our little bickers and we do like social media shows a highlight reel. We have our own things.
Yeah.
And usually come up when I'm like stressed as hell from work. I'm tired. Maybe it's near my period. Jared did like one little thing. He did so many amazing things. And then one little thing sets me off. You know, he could
have until you're pregnant.
Yeah. Wait till I'm pregnant. Literally. Watch out, world. But it's so important. And I think that's something that you guys have done so beautifully is prioritizing that and making it normal. And we have another couple in our life that's what they said was really the big game changer, was like prioritizing therapy and date night. So like getting the sitter, getting help from family to just go have you time and remind yourselves of you, especially with three kids.
Absolutely. And like, I can't not wrap this around to our businesses too, because they've absolutely been a vehicle for my husband and I to be able to spend more time together. Right.
Yeah.
So we travel quite a bit, whether it's with our family or solo. Like you've been there. Like we've been able to go on trips. We've been able to have the date nights. We've been able to do X, Y, and Z But that is an extra for most families, right? Like
Yeah.
that is not the priority in most people's budget. So when you have that on your radar as something that you want to be a priority, you need to have an income that allows you to do it. So think about it to yourself, like, what do you want my relationship, or like, what do you want your relationship to look like? What do you want to be able to do with your spouse? Where do you guys want to go? How do you want to spend your time? Do you like even want to have the money, the extra money to be able to pay for therapy if it's not covered? And then what is your vehicle getting you to that point to be able to do it? And for us, it was like, that is an extra. That is not coming from my teaching paycheck. That is separate.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, because whenever I have conversations about the business, you know, people are like, okay, but I'm good. Like I'm comfortable. I've got this, I've got that. Like I'm not, and you know, we have our materialistic sides to us. Like I love a bougie hotel room. I love a this. I love, you know, some fine things. But I think at the end of the day,
we're
you and I are
too wild. Like
we're not too wild.
Average
like
people. Yeah.
I think our driving force more so, if you were to say materialistic goods or like convenience and experience, is way more convenience and experience. Like I am more motivated to work hard for that. And so if you're, you know, reflecting on where your goals are, and maybe your goals aren't to like live this super bougie lifestyle, that's fine. You don't have to do that. You don't have to want to like make that amount of income or whatever, but like what would having an extra $1,500 a month,
thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It is our mission to help as many people truly thrive in all aspects of their life. It honestly means the world to us that you are here.
If you got any value, support, or takeaways from today's episode, the best thing that you can do is screenshot this episode and share it to your social media. Or you can leave us a review below. We read every single one.
If you are looking for additional support or resources, check the episode details below or send us a message on Instagram. We would love to connect.
They will hold you hostage for whatever you will pay in order to get a night out with your husband.
Literally. But like, that's where it can really change, right? Even logging on and getting flights, not just based on the lowest cost, but what's most convenient for you. Like looking at the shortest duration or the least amount of stops, and being able to have that pivot in your mind to not being, okay, we got to do the milk run because it's $200 less, right? These little things will start to pivot for you, but you have to go back to, do I have a vehicle to get me there? Is what I'm doing right now getting to where I want to be in 1, 3, or 5 years? And if not, really seriously sitting down and looking at that. And, you know, if you guys have, you know, we'll kind of wrap it up with this. Like, if you have any questions, go down to the show notes, reach out to Madison, reach out to myself. We can chat with you about what this could look like for you, where you want to go with that. And, you know, we have these conversations all the time, and it's just so fun to be able to see women and men come into this business and really honestly change their life in all aspects. We've talked about family, marriage, friendships, personal development, financial growth. Like it really does trickle into every aspect of your life. So Mad, thank you for being on here. I know
yes,
that
thank you so much.
You are just a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience. And I, you know, I always say to everyone, I'm like, Madison will like literally help me raise my children because she's been such a good mom in raising hers. So
thank you.
I love
you.
You
are so good at boosting my tires.
Aw, well, forever. And you guys, we will see you on the next episode. So thank you so much for listening. And if you are listening to this on socials, give us a little tag. Love you guys.